Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We the people of the United States, in order to form
a more perfect union, establish justice,
ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare,
secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity,
do ordain and establish this Constitution. These words and the words that follow, they must apply to everyone or they mean nothing. Do you understand?
Lots of voices there reciting the preamble to the Constitution. You might recognize some of them. Director Jay, was that last one Captain Kirk? He says yes, Captain Kirk indeed, from an episode of Star Trek where apparently the written word of the Constitution came into play. Most of us know something about what's in the Constitution, but according to our next guest, there's a lot more to it when it comes to making and interpreting our laws, not just the written word, as you heard from Captain Kirk and so many others there, but the unwritten word that imbues and weaves throughout the Constitution. Akhil Reed Amar is professor at Yale Law School and the author of America's Unwritten Constitution, The Precedents and Principles We Live By. Professor, hello.
Good morning.
A difficult concept at first, the unwritten Constitution. I can read the text. It's succinct. The Constitution is short. But you have written hundreds and hundreds of pages here in this book that's in front of me about what the Constitution says, really, with no words at all.
Yes. Let's take the "we the people do ordain and establish this Constitution." That's actually not just words, but a deed, a doing, an act of ordainment, an establishment, a constituting. And one part of the Constitution is how that was done. And how it was done was pretty extraordinary. Lots of people got to vote. More people got to vote on the Constitution than had ever been allowed to vote on anything before in human history, the most democratic deed up to that point in all human history, and with remarkable freedom of speech. So even before there's a First Amendment that textually guarantees the freedom of speech is actually baked into the cake. It's actually part of the year-long process by which we, the people of the United States, did in fact ordain and establish the Constitution. We did so in a remarkable outpouring of free speech, pro and con. That's part of the Constitution, albeit unwritten, even before the First Amendment comes along.
Now, when I went to crack this book and read it, because I knew I was going to talk to you, I sort of had a preconceived notion. Sure, we interpret the Constitution through lots of things that aren't written in it. They're called Supreme Court decisions, precedents. There is no right to privacy written in the Constitution, but it's implicit in lots of things that we've heard of, like Roe v. Wade. The idea that corporations have individual rights, not in the Constitution, but it's from Supreme Court precedents. But very little of your book is about what the Supreme Court says about the Constitution, but sort of what the culture or the Constitution says about itself without saying it.
Yeah, I do have a couple of chapters on Supreme Court cases, but I have chapters on how other branches of government actually operate every day and embody the Constitution in their experiences. I have a chapter about George Washington and the precedents he set and how, as a practical matter, they shape our understanding of executive power every bit as much as, maybe even more than, the rather cryptic words, the executive power of the United States. So just as Christians might ask themselves, what would Jesus do, a president today do, and properly ask themselves, what would George do? What did George do? That's part of our unwritten Constitution, the first precedents of the first presidents outside the judiciary. The Constitution is a part of our deep American culture, but it's not the only iconic text that binds us together, that constitutes us as Americans. We could talk about the Declaration of Independence or the Federalist Papers or the I Have a Dream speech. So there are many aspects of this unwritten Constitution above and beyond cases, which are, of course, one important element.
So then what does it mean in the modern political case where in our political debates – so many people are claiming a defense of the words of the Constitution. In this particular case, conservatives, maybe folks in the Tea Party, are aggrieved because the other side has violated the Constitution or has gone against the Constitution. It's a bit of a literalist translation, and debates come and go. But as you watch this debate play out, as somebody who reads between the lines and outside the edges of the four corners of the document, what do you make of all this?
Well, we are all textualists because we all have this written constitution that makes us gives us something in common, and I don't want to lose any of that. But even as we are all textualists, including non-Tea Party types, we are all actually unwritten constitution people as well, including Tea Party types. They believe in things like limited government, words that you won't find in the Constitution, federalism, concept that's clearly in the Constitution between the lines, but not in so many words. The rule of law, checks and balances, separation of powers, and so on. So there's no one on the court, not my friend Clarence Thomas, not Justice Scalia, no one on the court who thinks that the words and only the words do all the work in proper constitutional interpretation. And even the Tea Party actually accepts that because they believe in things like separation of powers, checks and balances, and federalism.
Which aren't really in there if you just read between the four corners. Well, you mentioned...
You don't see those words.
And you mentioned Clarence Thomas, and you mentioned Antonin Scalia. I might refer to Justice Samuel Alito. Even John Roberts, to an extent, all people who referred to themselves at one time or the other as strict constructionists. That's a term they throw around, and it's a term that some people, when debating the Constitution in the Supreme Court, love to hear. It implies I guess you call it textualists, right? Like reading the words and nothing else. I read your book, and I understand that strict constructionist is a badge of honor for a lot of people, but doesn't really exist in the way that we thought it did.
And Justice Scalia has a new book out in which he says actually that he doesn't believe in strict construction. He believes in proper construction, in reasonable construction. And I think my friend Clarence Thomas would actually say the same thing. By the way, we're going to do an event tomorrow at the National Archives together to celebrate the 225th anniversary of the Constitution. And in so doing, I hope we dramatize to folks that there are a lot of things that liberals and conservatives, Democrats and Republicans actually have in common. We are less divided when you actually look at what people do than what you might think if you just look at the sound bites in the culture war.
Akhil Amar, professor at Yale, it's the anniversary of 9/11, of course. Take just a couple of seconds, not too long if you will, but reflect. So many constitutional debates, warrantless wiretapping, right to privacy. You must be thinking about a lot today.
Indeed. And our Constitution is the product of our history. And our history as Americans is the product of our wars and our tragedies. Out of the American Revolution, we get the Constitution itself and the Bill of Rights. Out of the carnage of the Civil War, we get a 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments that give us, in Lincoln's phrase, a new birth of freedom. Out of the World War I experience, women get the vote. Out of Vietnam, 18-year-olds get the vote. 9/11 is a part of the history of America, our achievements and our tragedies. But one extraordinary thing about the Constitution, written and unwritten, is how when we have been faced with tragedies, we've often risen to the occasion. And I hope we do so again this time around.
Professor Akhil Reed Amar is professor at Yale Law School. The book is America's Unwritten Constitution, The Precedents and Principles We Live By. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.